Before Sukkot, we discussed some of the challenges associated with using a Shemitah Dik Esrog on Sukkot. And what I wanted to discuss this evening is, now that Sukkot is over, for those of us that do have Eretz Yisrael Dik Esrogim or use Eretz Yisrael Dik Esrogim, what is the proper care for Shemitah Esrog after Sukkot is over? We'll see. There are three general approaches as to what to do. All of them have their milas and chesronos, but I'll try to explore what the issues are and present the options that are discussed by the poskim. So we had discussed at the end of the last year the isser of hotzas peros shvias l'chutzaris. It's an isser of transporting shmita produce to chutzaris. So we discussed the various heterim, why that may not apply. Could be it does apply, but why that may not apply to esrogim that are exported for purpose of a mitzvah. So once the esrogim are here, whatever the heterim are, and Sukkot is over, how does one care for that Shemitah esrog? So there is a discussion. The Chazal have one of the drashas, Sachem and Beis, and other places of La'achla below the Hefsed. You're not allowed to be mafsid Peirush Shvi'is. You can't cause Peirush Shvi'is to be destroyed or create any hefset for Peirush Shvi'is. So you couldn't take your Shemitah produce and destroy it or use it in a non-productive fashion. What about leaving it and doing nothing? Is there an isser of gram hefset? Are you allowed to sit passively and allow for a situation in which there will be hefset, in which Shemitah fruit will rot or will get moldy, if you don't do anything active to make that happen? So that's a machlokes achronim. Chuvas marit, chelak aleph, simin pe gimel. Chelak aleph, simin pe gimel assumes that there's no isser of gram hefset peirush shvi'is. There's no isser of allowing peirush shvi'is to be nifsad. And that's the position of the Chazon Ish l'halacha. Shvi'is perek yudalid os yud. Shvi'is perek yudalid os yud. That there's an isser hefset, but there's no isser of letting them lay around until they rot. Mikdash David, Rav David Rappaport, who was Rosh Hashiva, Magid Shir and Baranovich, Besov Chayev, Zerayim Simon Memtes Os Hey, argues on the Marit, and he assumes that not only is there an Isser of Gram Hefset Peirush Shvi'is, not only are you not allowed to create a situation where it'll rot on its own, if you see Shemitah produce in a position where they may rot, you're mechuyev to be matzalit min hefset. That's the day of achronim l'chumra. Consensus of achronim is that we're makel on this. For example, tshuvas minchas yitzchak chelak yud simin kuf yutes. Dayin weiss chelak yud simin kuf yutes. The context of the tshuvas, he was asked whether you're allowed to use a shemitah fruit as decoration for your sukkah. The classic noi sukkah of the Gemara of hanging up fruits in the sukkah. So can you use a shemitah fruit? That fruit is potentially going to be exposed to the elements and it's going to deteriorate or rot more quickly than it would otherwise if you kept it in your refrigerator. So Dayan Weiss quotes Rambam Perish HaMishnayis. Let's bring up the shared screen for the Zoomers now. So the Mishnah says in Shvi'is Parakas Mishnah Zayin, Ein Mevashlin Yerek Shel Shvi'is B'Shemin Shel Truma Shelo Yivienu Lidei Sol. You're not allowed to cook a Shemitah vegetable in Truma oil so that you don't bring it to Psol. What's the it to Psol? So the Rambam Perish HaMishnayis and the Bartanura explain as follows. I have the Bartanura here on the screen. Shem Nifsal Bishvil Shemin Shel Truma. What's going to happen? You're mixing together the Shemitah oil with the Shemitah fruit with the Truma oil. If the Truma oil is going to become pasul, so that the din is you have to burn that Truma oil. And now you're going to end up having to burn the Shemitah vegetable that's mixed together with the Truma oil. In Nifsal Bishvil Shemin Shel Truma, Yisarif Hakol, the Nimsa Goreim Leperis Shvias Shelo Ye Achlu. And you're going to end up being gorim, causing that the Peirush Shvi'is are not going to be eaten. So that sounds like, and why it says there are those that point out from this Bartanura and the Rambam Perish HaMishnayis, it sounds like there is an isser of gram hesed for Peros Shvius. However, Lemaisa, many Achronim are Mekal on this, and the Minchas Yitzchak thinks Meikra didn't assume like the Marit. Therefore, in principle, the Ayin Weiss Paskin is that you're allowed to hang up Shemitah fruit in your Sukkah. He thinks, all things being equal, it's better to be Machmir, but in principle, he thinks that it's mutter to hang up Shemitah fruit in your Sukkah. That's also the conclusion of the current Sfardi Rav Rashi, Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef, in his Yalkut Yosef, Shvi is Paratest Vav Osn and Zion, Paratest Vav Osn and Zion, that Ro Poskim assume like the Marit, that there's no Isser of Gram, Hefzid, Peros, Shvius. Rasi Pesach Frank points out, Shuvas Har Tzvi, Zraim Chelik Beis, Simen Memdalid, Zraim Chelik Beis, Simen Memdalid, that even if you're going to be Machmir, like the Mikdash David against the Marit, about Gram, Hefzid, Peros, Shvius, but there's another reason to potentially be Makel about Esrogim, that there's no problem to just leave your Esrog around and let it rot, because it's possible that the whole Isra of La'achla of La'hefzid is only applicable for that which is meant to be eaten. Then Esrog, even if theoretically could be eaten, but it's not grown to be eaten, it's grown to be used for the mitzvah of Dalin Minim. So it's possible that there's no Isra of Gram Hefzid for such a fruit, Lukulei Alma. And he points out that's the context of the Marit. Marit is Makel. He's asked about the leaves that are attached to certain berries and removing those leaves are not edible. So that's his context where Gram Perishvius is Mutter. And Rasim Pesach Frank says that's why we're not concerned about touching an Esrog. Why aren't we worried if you're going to touch the Esrog during Sukkot? You're causing it to rot more quickly because when you touch it, it's not preserved as well. And no one says you're not allowed to touch it for the mitzvah. So it must be we're not really concerned about Gram Hefzid. So if that's the case, then we're not concerned about Gram Hefzid. So one potential approach to what to do with your Shemitah Esrog after Sukkot is to do nothing. Let it sit around. Eventually, it'll rot. You haven't been mafsid anything via dayim. And once it rots, then you can get rid of it the same way that you get rid of an Esrog any other year. How do you get rid of an Esrog any other year? So the Mechaber writes in Simen Tuf Reish Samach Dalid, beginning in Sivches, Yesh mi she'omer Shoshana shebelulav afa pishen izrekes ein lefso aleha. So the Shana shebelulav, you like to throw it away, but you shouldn't trample over it. You shouldn't treat it in a non-respected way. Technically speaking, it's Tashmisha Mitzvah, not Tashmisha Kedusha. Tashmisha Mitzvah do not require Geniza. You don't have to bury it in Shemitz. You can just throw it out. But you shouldn't treat it in a non-Bekavadic fashion. The Ramah in the Nexif talks about the minhag of using or burning the lula of the Hoshanas together with the matzah to do another mitzvah with it. And the Ramah here is Mitzayin, what he writes in Hilchot Tzitzis in a similar context, that the Mechaber writes in Simen Kaf Aleph Sif Aleph, if you have tzitzis that become pasul, you can throw them out of the garbage. There's no inherent kedusha to the tzitzis. So once the tzitzis are cut off, in theory, you could throw them out. But if they're still connected to the talis, you can't use it for atashmi shel ganai. And then the Ramah says, "V'yishomrim da'af la'archa shenifsiku." Even if they are cut off and become pasul, ain linuk behem minuk bizayon with zarkem makam maguna. You shouldn't throw it out in a makam maguna, but it doesn't require geniza. So the same thing is true by arbaminim. Any normal year, you shouldn't throw out your esrog in the garbage with all the regular garbage. But if you wrap it in something else and then put it in the garbage, so that's not genai. That's not bizayon. That would be mutter. So in theory, the same should be relevant when it comes to our issue as well. If you have a Shemitah Esrog, according to what we're saying, if you're not worried about Gram, Hefzid, Perish, Vias, you can just leave it around until it rots. Once it rots, then there's no more Isser of L'achol of L'Hefzid because it's already rotten, and then you can dispose of it the way you would dispose of an Esrog any other year. Can you eat it?
No, can you use it to cook for a Shabbos challah? And they say they're saying use the Hashanahs to cook matzahs,
Right.
make your Shabbos. Why wait all the way till Pesach? You can use it for Shabbos. Use it for your challah for Shabbos. It's something.
So I don't know if the ovens that they had in Krakow at the time of the Ramah were conducive to being fueled by Arba Minim, but maybe in theory, if they were, then yeah. That's the minute that he records. That was an easy way of, I think it's from the Mariel, easy way of using it for another mitzvah, maybe in the Hanami. Now, even if, as far as the issue of Hefset Perishvias and Gram Hefset Perishvias, we're home free by letting it rot, but we still have to contend with the question of Zman Bir. Is there a requirement of Bir for an Esrog? What is the requirement of Bir? So we discussed this in previous Shiurim. Let's just read it from the Rambam at the beginning of Perek Zayin of Shvias. Klal Gadol Amr B'Shvias Kol Shu Machal Adam Machal Behema Mimin Atzovim. So anything, this is from the Mishnayos, anything that's fit for human consumption or animal consumption or dying is subject to the lachos of Shvias and is subject to the lachos of beer. What are the lachos of beer? The Rambam then writes in Halacha Gimel. Hayilo peres merubin mechalken mazon shalosh sudos kol echad v'yasu lachal achar abir ve'elanim ve'elashir. That once this man beer comes, once this kala l'chaim in asada, once this fruit is no longer available in the field for anyone to take it, so then the mitzvah of beer kicks in. So mitzvah beer doesn't apply to quantities less than 3 meals worth per member of the household. But after that point, no one's allowed to eat the fruit. The Rambam holds, what is beer? The Rambam holds that beer is kipshuto. It means that at a certain point, when the Zman beer kicks in, you have to actually destroy any remaining Shemitah produce. And according to the Rambam, Perek Zayin Halacha Yud Beis, as we discussed last time, you could do beer even in Chutz Laretz. Hamolach peyreshvias mimakom shekalu makom shelokalu, o mimakom shelokalu makom shekalu chayv levayer. Peyres haaretz sheyatzu lechutz laaretz misbayer mekoman v'lo yavir mimakom lemakom. So even a chutz laaretz you can be mekayim beer, which according to the Rambam means actually burning it. According to the Rambam, if we establish that there is a zman beer, and the zman beer would happen before the esrog rots, then you'd be mechuyev to actually burn it. Most Rishonim, or at least we assume Lalacha, like the other position of Rishonim, like the Ramban of Torah in Vayirka Cafe, like the position of the Bali Tosfos, that beer doesn't mean you have to actually burn it. It's sufficient to be mafker it. And after you're mafker it, then you can be zochin it again. So according to those Rishonim, that's what the Kesef Mishnah points out there on the Rambam, the Mari Korkus, that you can be maker like the Mekilim, especially Bisman Azad, the Shemitah is the Rabbanan. That's what the Chazon Ish writes, Simen Yud Aleph O Zayin, the end of O Zayin, that our minhag is to be maker, that beer means hefker. So then you have to figure out when is this man beer. If this man beer were to be before the Esrog rots, then you'd have to be mafker it, and then you could be koned again and continue your process. So what is the Zman beer for Esrog Shvias? That's a major machlokes achronim. In the Sefer Arbas Minim Hashalim, Rabbi Weisfish, he quotes in the Ritvaz, the other contemporary Sfarim quote this also, the Ritvaz Paskind, that there's no din of beer for Esrogim Bisman Azeh, because Esrogim stay on trees for an extended period of time. Beer only applies when it's Kalal Chayim in Asada, but if they're going to stay on the tree for a couple of years, then there's no Chovas beer, and you only harvest them after 2 3 years. Bikurei Shlomo writes this also Siman Lamed Zayin Os Yudalid, but that's not accepted Lalach. Rabbi Karr points out it's not true b'metzias. I don't know if it was true b'metzias or Ritvaz is writing 100 years ago, 110 years ago. But Rabbi Karr points out in Mishmaros HaShviyas nowadays, when you harvest Esrogim, you harvest everything because you're doing it for the mitzvah. You're not leaving anything on the tree. So the mitzias that the Ritbaz is talking about isn't true. There's nothing left. So that's generally not accepted. The consensus is that there is a zman beer for esrogim. What is a zman beer for esrogim? So if everything is actually taken off the tree by the time Sukkot comes around, it's possible that the zman beer is ready that time, if that's kala l'chaya b'sada. Ramosha writes like that. In the tshuva we discussed last time, chelak aleph arachayim simen kuf peivav, chelak aleph simen kuf peivav. Ramosha connects this to whether shmita for an esrog is based on shas lakita, based on shas chanita, when it takes root, or whether when it's gathered, which we discussed the last time. Ramosha assumes that this man beer is at the beginning of the year, already Rosh Hashanah time. Rabbi Karb recommends that the way, if you were to be choshish for such a shita, the way out of that would be, let's say you have an Osar Bezdin system for esrogim, that you should instruct the Osar Bezdin people to leave some esrogim on the trees, to leave the puzzle esrogim that aren't going to go to market anyway, that no one's going to buy, leave some of those on the trees, so then you'll still have esrogim on the trees, and this man beer won't kick in. So if you don't assume like that, Ramosha, what is this man beer? So most assume, the Sefer Shmita, B'chil Mechel Tukachitzi, quotes from a Shmuel Salant, that in most years, the naturals, man beer, fesrogim, when are they naturally no longer on the tree or growing as part of the standard trajectory? So naturals, man beer, is during Chodesh Shvat. Some say in the handbooks and others as well that it's during Iyar even. Rosh Thormach in the Shemitah Kel Chasa, Paragimel Sif Yedzayin, he thinks, yes, if you don't have Rabbi Karp's suggestion of making sure there's some left on the tree, that you have to be choshesh that this man beer is ready Sukkot time when nothing is left on the tree. So if you were concerned that zman beer is actually Sukkot time, so then you would have to be mafkir the esrog and then reacquire it and then leave it around. But the maisa, many are makel that it's a later point. If it's a later point, Chodesh Shvat or Chodesh Iyar, so then presumably if you leave your esrog out to rot, it's going to be well rotten by the time Iyar and even Chodesh Shvat comes around. Now, one could also possibly argue that, as we saw just down the Rambam a few moments ago, Chovas beer is only relevant if, for quantities in excess of 3 meals worth of food per member of the household. So how would you consider an esrog as far as food? Is an esrog more than, you know, if you make jelly out of an esrog, the jelly could last for many meals worth of jelly. But if you eat an esrog whole, forever would do that, that's probably less than 3 sudas worth of food. So that, I'm not sure exactly how you would assess an esrog in that context. Some of the achronim that discuss this don't really raise that issue. It sounds like they're assuming that it's considered more than Muslim gimel sudas and therefore subject to beer. Chaim Kanievsky, Derech Hamuna, Perakei Sifkata and Sadivav. So he writes that the stipler, his father, told him that esroge shvias that are exported to Chutz Aretz should be eaten after Sukkot is over. And that's the best way of ensuring that there won't be any hefsed and that you treat it properly. Now, that runs into other issues. Number one, that assumes, not like the Ravid, there's a Ravid in Taras Kanim who writes that there's an isser of eating Peros Shvias and Chutz Aretz. The line on the Taras Kanim is Masha b'artzacha ochlim lo masha hotzi akilas lavadav lepuntus. So Puntus is someplace in Chutz Aretz. And the Ravid there explains that if you're motzi peiros shvias to chutz laaretz, it's asur b'achila because We're worried you may come to confuse Peirush Shvias with Peirush Chutz Laaretz and not treat the Peirush Shvias with proper Kedushas Shvias. And therefore, you're not allowed to eat on Chutz Laaretz. But the Rabbi says, if you want to bring it back to Eretz Yisrael, eat in Eretz Yisrael, that would be acceptable. So the suggestion of eating in Chutz Laaretz presupposes that we don't assume like this Rabbi. And also, if you were to eat in Chutz Laaretz, you'd have to be careful to treat it with proper Kedusha Shvias. So how does Kedusha Shvias apply to the peel of an esrog, to the rind of an esrog, to most of the fruit that's not probably edible? So Rambam writes, Perek Hei Shmita V'yovel Lacha Kaf Aleph, Haklipin V'hagar'inin Shemutarin Bitruma Lizarin. The peels and the seeds that a non-Kohen is allowed to eat of Truma, meaning there's no Truma status for the peels and the seeds of Truma produce because it's not considered edible. And Kedusha Shvias Chal Aleihem. The same is true for Kedusha Shvias. Kedusha Shvias is only Chal on the part of a fruit that that is edible. Now, how does this apply to an Esrog? The Rambam writes, Perikid Aleph Trumos Halacha Yud. Garina esrog mutarim. So seeds of an esrog are mutar. Garina zaysam tamarim mecharuvin afavish lokens and akovin elu asil mazar. So the other Rama writes that seeds of an esrog are mutar for azar, as opposed to other seeds. So what's the difference between why is an esrog seed different than other seeds? Why is it an esrog seed is not subject to Truman by extension, Kedusha Shvias, and other seeds are? Explains the Radvaz that esrog seeds are bitter and therefore not considered edible. But that's as far as the seed. What about the peel? The Rambam doesn't talk about the peel, right? The Rambam in Perakei Shmita says, if you have a fruit that has peels and seeds that are mutter b'trum, lazar mitzmutter b'shvias. And the Rambam in Hilchos Trumos tells you that gar'inei esrogim are mutarim. And the previous halacha, halacha yud, he tells you about klipe avatiach. The Rambam writes in the previous halacha, halacha yud, klipe avatiach v'esrog, afabisha ein ben ochel, harei masu lazar. So the Rambam distinguishes, between the seeds of an esrog and the peel of an esrog. Peel of an esrog would have kedusha shvias, is asur lazar, and the seed of an esrog does not. So that's what the Radvaz says. The seed is not really edible, but it sounds like the peel would be. So according to that, you'd have to be careful. If you're going to eat the esrog, then you have to eat the peel also, or treat that with kedusha shvias. However, Chazanish writes in Shvias Perek Yudal at the end of Os Yud that this is all l'fi amalkan v'azman. If you live at a time and a place where people don't eat esrog peels, then it wouldn't have kedusha shvia. So if the minag achila, the norm of achila, changes, then the halacha could change also. Chazanish assumes that nowadays people don't eat esrog rinds, and therefore there's a makom lahakel that the peel would not have kedusha shvia. So if you're okay in the seeds, you're okay in the peel. The only, all that's left is the meat of the esrog, and that you'd have to eat and treat it with kedushas shvias. The other thing to note is if you were to make esrog jelly, presumably the esrog jelly is going to last longer, and that probably would last past as manbir, so you'd have to treat that subject to the alachos of beer. Okay, so that's option number two. Option number one was to let things just rot, subject to qualification of beer. Option number two is to eat it, subject to figuring out what's edible and what's not edible, and treating that which is edible with Kedusha Shvias, and making the assumption that you're allowed to eat Peirush Shvias in Chutz Laaretz. And then beyond that, we had discussed last time, in addition to the Isser of Hotzas, Peirush Shvias, and Chutz Laaretz, there's also an Isser of Havar mimakom lamakom b'chutz laaretz, and moving from place to place in chutz laaretz. So So how does that apply? How does that potentially apply to Esrogim, especially after Chutz Laaretz, after Sukkos? So the Chazon Ish writes in Perek Yud Gimel Os Dalid that the reason for the Isra of Sami Makam Lamakam of Chutz Laaretz is that that's like a new Otsah from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz. That if you're moving it from place to place, what's place to place? So in the Chut Shani of Nissen Karelitz, he thinks that place to place means outside the Tchum. Whatever is considered Tchum for Hilchot Shabbos, that's a Makam for this Halacha. But he thinks that Makam LaMakam would be outside the Tchum. Okay, maybe. So the Chazon Ish assumes that the Isser of Havari Makam LaMakam means it's like a new Hotzah. It's like you're bringing it out from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz anew. And based on that, Chaim Kanievsky writes Derech Hamuna Perek Zayin Sifkat and Kuf Cafe in the Tzion Halacha, Perek Zayin Sifkat and Kuf Cafe, that you'd be allowed to bring your Perek Shvias back to Eretz Yisrael. So once it's already here, whoever got here, you can bring it back to Eretz Yisrael. And the Rosh Dormach writes in his Shemitah Kilchasa, Perek Gimel Sif Yutayin, he quotes from the Levushe Mordechai that was his suggestion. That bring your Chutz Laaretz Esra, the Eretz Yisrael Dik Esra back to Eretz Yisrael after Sukkos, then your Marviach the Shitas arrived that you're not having to deal with eating Peros Shvias in Chutz Laaretz, and Eretz Yisrael you'll treat it with the proper Kedusha Shvias in Eretz Yisrael, and either you'll eat it there or you let it sit around there, but it's safer back in Eretz Yisrael. And then if you hold that beer has to be in Eretz Yisrael, so then you can do beer in Eretz Yisrael as well. Then you're marviach that. Now this is against the Rabbi Ezra Schwartz has a nice article on Gram Hefsid Perish Shvias in Kol Svi Volume 3. He points out there's a Kaftur Perach who says that there is an Isser of being Machzir Perish Shvias from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael. So that's presumably minority opinion. But if you don't do something like that, so that's the third suggestion that you can bring it back to Eretz Yisrael and take care of things that way. So again, the three possibilities, all of which have their ups and downs, are either to let it rot subject to beer, to eat it in Chutz Laaretz subject to Kedusha Shvias, or to bring it back to Eretz Yisrael.
Just like dry out,
it's considered. It's no longer edible. If it's dried out, then that's rotting.
Wait, Rabbi?
Yeah, Mayor.
Hi. I actually saw a couple of Sogan today. That somebody put, they didn't put them in the garbage, but they put them like where the garbage men would take them. So do I have an achrayus to rescue them?
Were they Eretz Yisrael Dik Esrogim?
Yeah. I mean, the box said so. I don't know for a fact that, you know, they were the original ones that were in the box, but the box was from Eretz Yisrael.
It's probably a good idea.
Meaning, yeah.
Leaving aside where, if you see something that has, meaning, technically speaking, we said there's no Isser of Gram Hefsis, so you're not doing anything. But someone else did something kind of biadayim.
Yeah.
That was probably a good idea to stop that, if you can.
Yeah, I did. I grabbed.
Great.
So okay.
Now you have more assortment to take care of.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Have a good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
I don't know if it's his. I don't know. Is that true?